Hi, this is Amy Scott Grant, Spiritual Ass Kicker, and welcome to part one of Systematic Forgiveness. I am really excited to create this course with you. This is something that has been kind of like on my heart for a little time now, and on my heart and on my mind. And so I'm excited to be able to bring this into fruition, and I'm excited to have you share it with me. So what is systematic forgiveness? Well, it's forgiveness within the realm of a system. I mean, really, that's what it is. And I think because forgiveness is one of those things that's easy to understand, it's a simple concept, but it's not exactly easy to do. And a lot of times we get hung up on this, that, or the other thing, or it's just hard. Like we go, okay, I know I should, but I can't, whatever. And so what stayed on my mind for a while before I rolled out this course is this idea that if we can take a systematic approach to it, that would help dispel some of the emotions that keep us blocked from forgiving and allow us to move into a simple process of being able to forgive. So that's what systematic forgiveness is. Forgiveness is letting go and releasing someone who has hurt you in some way. And systematic forgiveness is taking a very logical step-by-step approach to that process, because it can be a really difficult process, especially it's kind of like the bigger the hurt, the harder it is to forgive. It's also difficult if the person is still around, like they're still in your life, that can make it a lot harder too. It's almost easier to forgive when the person's gone, when they're out of your life. But when they're right there, you're just like, we keep getting triggered over and over. So why take a systematic approach? Well, I mean, I think I just answered that, but it's because it helps distance us from the emotional part of it. Because for most people, if you have trouble forgiving, your brain knows what you need to do. It's just like when people want to stop smoking, your brain knows that's not good for you. Your brain knows it's not healthy, but your body is like, oh, but I need it. I need it. There's chemical things going on in your body that have you want to keep smoking. And there's usually emotional connections and ties that make it hard to let go as well. Or especially if you tried before and failed, right? And forgiveness is very similar in that way, where sometimes we think we have let go, we think we have forgiven a person, and they just trigger us all over again. And our brain is going, this has nothing to do with what they just said or just did or what happened today. This is, I just can't stand them, right? It's because that old wound has never been fully resolved, okay? So systematic forgiveness is useful for everything from day-to-day stuff to deep-seated, long-standing, old wounds. Now, the benefits of forgiveness are abundant, right? When you forgive and truly forgive and let go and move on, you feel lighter, brighter, happier, freer, and you're no longer... So I was going to say you're no longer bound by that person, which is true because you're no longer bound energetically to them through that resentment that you've been carrying. But there's something else too. There's a liberty that is not present when we have not forgiven. And sometimes it can really shrink us and put us into a box, make us smaller, right? Because it might look like, oh, a party. How fun. Oh, wait, she's going to be there? Never mind, I'm not going. Right? Now, sometimes we use that as an excuse because we're introverts and we go, okay, she's there, then I'm not going to go because I really didn't want to go and now I have a good excuse. But other times it's like actually limiting our freedom and our liberties because we're pulling back because we're like, I don't want to be around her. I don't want to see her. I don't want to be at that thing that she's at. I don't want to feel obligated to her. I don't, you know, him, her, whatever, right? So it can really like tamp us down and shrink us, which is not great, not just for self-expression, but for self-actualization and really living the life that you want to live. And then, of course, you know, the emotional benefits of forgiveness. Like I said, the spiritual benefits of forgiveness are easy to see, plentiful. But there's also physical benefits as well. A lot of times, certain chronic conditions or even certain persistent annoying conditions can be related to an inability to forgive or not yet having forgiven, like holding on to old resentments. You know, Louise Hay says that the reason for cancer is like long-standing underlying resentment. And that is, you know, when you've carried it for that long without forgiving, or it could be a lot piled on too. So, I mean, it's the physical ramifications are severe, and they could be anything from a pain in the neck, hemorrhoids, a headache, you know, chronic shoulder pain, hip pain, rheumatism, like really a whole lot of things could be linked to forgiveness. And so while I'm not making any specific physical promises, I can tell you that once you forgive and let go, you will physically feel a whole lot better. And it's hard to predict the ways in which that will show up. But perhaps one of the greatest benefits of forgiving, besides the fact that, you know, God wants us to, and life sure seems to work when we do what God wants us to, doesn't it? But apart from all that, whatever's currently frustrating you in your life, I think it's going to blow your mind to see how it links to whatever has been left unforgiven. Crazy, I know. And you're like, what? That has nothing to do. Look, I love everybody at my job. I'm having a huge problem at my job right now, but it doesn't have to do with anyone there. So that can't possibly have anything to do with that guy that I dated in the 11th grade. Oh, but it does. It does, because it's like baggage that we carry with us absolutely everywhere we go. So to be free of that once and for all, it frees up a lot of space in your life, and you'll find that things in your life that weren't working start working. It's wild, I'm telling you. We're in for quite a ride. Now, the very first exercise that I'm going to invite you to take on is to actually make a list of any physical, emotional, or spiritual ailments that you currently have. And we're not going to share any of this. This is private just for you. But make a list. You know, if maybe it's neck pain, headaches, you know, cramps, foot pain. Maybe there's a bunion you've been meaning to take care of. Could be high blood pressure. Could be low-level anxiety. Could be feeling distanced from other people or from God. Just take a few minutes and jot down a list. And then add to it any current frustrations in your life. I can hear some of you laughing in my head, like, huh, like how long? Is it okay if this list is really long? Yeah, it's fine. There's no right or wrong answer. But anything that's really sort of irritating, like it's a frustration right now. And you could keep it really generic too. You could just put work. You don't have to say, oh, this is my boss and there's this and there's this. It's like, no, work is a nightmare right now. Right? Or, oh, my weight. Or the dishwasher is still broken. You know, whatever. So it can be generic. Where can you apply this? That's actually what I'll invite you to think about between now and the next time that we talk. Like, who have you been unable to forgive? In fact, I'll encourage you to go ahead and write out a list of grievances. Now, you're not going to share these. I don't want to see them. I'm not going to ask for them. No one in this group needs to see them. But you need to see it. Because it's an interesting thing, list making. And if you've known me for a while, you know I love list making. It's so powerful because it really sets your brain going in a certain direction. And once it goes, it'll start going on its own. And you may even be listening to this and thinking, well, Amy, there's only one, so I don't really need to make a list. Trust me, write it down. You can start with a clean sheet of paper, fresh notebook page. You can do it in your journal, whatever. And at the top, write my list of grievances. If you don't know how to spell that, it's I before E. Yeah, my list of grievances. And then if you think there's only one, go ahead and write it down. But just maybe in a day or two, when you're driving or washing dishes or taking a shower, you'll think something will irritate you and pop into your head and go, God, I haven't thought about that in years. Oh, wait, maybe that belongs on my list of grievances. You think? Yeah, I do. So start your list of grievances. Because, okay, well, let me say this too. Because I'm feeling like someone might be listening and thinking, oh no, I'm on the opposite end of the scale. Like, I don't have a notebook big enough to cover my whole list of grievances. And that's okay. Because by getting them out of your head and onto paper, you are starting the process. Okay? So if it takes you from now until a week or two from now, that is okay. But start it today, my list of grievances. And think on, who are you holding a grudge against? Who are you angry at? Who are you frustrated with? Who have you been unwilling to forgive? Who hurt you? And you can go all the way back. Who hurt you today? Who hurt you this week? Who hurt you before COVID? Who hurt you 10 years ago? Who hurt you when you were in college? When you were in high school? When you were an adolescent? When you were a child? When you were a baby? So that's your homework between now and the next time we talk, is to start your list of grievances. And you don't have to dive into this pain. You don't have to dwell on each of these things. You may find it therapeutic to do some of that, and it may lay the groundwork for what's coming next. But it's really just making a list. And we're not even going to mess with prioritizing the list or anything like that right now. Just start your list. And if you have any questions, just ask, because I'm here. All right. Thanks for being here, and I'll see you in part 2 of Systematic Forgiveness.